Don't look to the Fed for more economic stimulus.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Stocks are falling around the world this morning after notes from the Federal Reserve's latest meeting showed only 2 of 10 voting committee members support additional stimulus. I'm talking about quantitative easing when the Fed buys bonds to boost lending and spending and lower unemployment. Paul Edelstein is with IHS Global Insight.
Even though the Fed thinks that unemployment really isn't going to fall any further than it has this year, support for another round of easing seems to be slipping among the committee members.
Back in January, several Fed committee members supported additional monetary easing. Now, that Fed news may be moving markets this morning, but it's not the only Fed news we've got. And Marketplace's David Gura is here live from Washington to tell us about something a little juicier. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So this item, I gather, comes from the Fed's Inspector General.
That's right. So we're learning about the Fed's history. First, we learned the Federal Reserve was not involved in the Watergate burglary back in 1972. The cash used in the scandal did not come through the Federal Reserve. And second, there's no evidence that the Fed helped Saddam Hussein, helped Iraq get billions of dollars to buy weapons in the 80s.
Okay, all good to know. But why was the Inspector General looking into this?
Okay, so back in February of 2010, Ben Bernanke was testifying before the House Financial Services Committee, and Republican Congressman Ron Paul, one of the Fed's biggest critics, made these two claims about the Fed and Watergate and about the Fed supposedly loaning money to Saddam Hussein. And this was Ben Bernanke's reply at the hearing back then.
Congressman, these specific allegations you've made, I think, are absolutely bizarre, and I have absolutely no knowledge of anything remotely like what you just described.
So at that hearing, the Democratic Congressman Barty Frank, who was at that point the chair of the committee, asked for an investigation. The Inspector General pores over documents and ultimately concludes in this report, Jeremy, there's no evidence of undue political interference with Federal Reserve officials in either of these cases. It's just not true.
Ben Bernanke probably breathing a sigh of relief this morning. Marketplace's David Gura in Washington. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Well, next week, the U.S. and 5 other world powers are scheduled to meet with Iranian officials about Iran's nuclear program. The U.S. is pushing for the most comprehensive economic sanctions package ever to get Iran to curb its nuclear ambitions. But India is reluctant to go along, as Christopher Worth reports now from New Delhi.
Iranian crude currently accounts for about 12% of India's oil imports. And India has stepped up its purchases since January, according to a report from the International Energy Agency. China and Japan are the only countries that buy more. But Tarun Lakhotia, an analyst at Kotak Securities in Mumbai, says there's plenty of oil to be had from other producers.
They can increase oil imports from countries like Saudi Arabia, where there is a reasonable amount of spare capacity.
But so far, the Indian government isn't budging. Finance Minister Pranab Mukherjee says India abides by UN sanctions, but it's not obliged to follow those imposed unilaterally by the US or Europe. Lydia Powell is with the Observer Research Institute in New Delhi.
India would like to be seen as a country which makes its own decisions. It wants to be seen as a strong, independent country.
And it's a fast-growing economy that needs all the energy it can get to maintain its current growth levels and satisfy the fuel hunger of its rising middle class. Powell says even if India wanted to wean itself off Iranian oil, that wouldn't be easy. Many of India's refineries are old and built specifically for processing Iranian crude. Plus, she says, Iran sells its oil to India at a discount.
The discounts which these refineries are used to, even if they are just a couple of dollars, it makes a big difference in their profitability.
But under U.S. sanctions, any country that doesn't make a significant reduction in Iranian oil imports by June could face sanctions itself. And Indian banks processing oil payments with Iran could be barred from the U.S. banking system. I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
And Christopher reports with support from the International Reporting Project in Washington, D.C. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly lower in overseas trading this morning, down more than 1% across Europe this morning after that news we talked about from the Fed that it probably will not launch new economic stimulus measures. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 64 points to close at 13,199.
show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
What do Google, The Gap, and Starbucks have in common? They're all participating in a new job creation program that relies on your purchases, Marketplace's Eve Troe reports.
Starbucks has never been about just making money, says VP of Communications Jim Olson. It's about
nurturing and inspiring humanity.
Frustrated at Washington gridlock, CEO Howard Schultz started the Create Jobs for USA Fund last year. Starbucks Foundation gave $5 million to make loans in low-income neighborhoods, everything from charter schools to a gelato shop.
It's the smaller businesses and community organizations that are having the door shut on them.
Mostly by big banks, Olson says. Customers have donated $2.5 million to the cause, buying jobs wristbands alongside their lattes. Now, divisions of Google and The Gap will chip in sales revenue that could add millions more. Olson says the fund could create or save about 4,000 jobs.
Kind of a small drop in the bucket,
says UCLA economist Jerry Nicholsberg.
It's not a national job strategy. It's Starbucks pursuing its own self-interest.
As companies should do, he says. Just don't mistake good marketing for a jobs miracle. I'm Eve Troe for Marketplace.
And finally, to Bond, James Bond. Now, we all know what he likes to drink.
A martini, shaken, not stirred.
Martini, shaken, not stirred. Well, maybe not anymore. According to Advertising Age, James Bond will be tossing back a Heineken in his next movie. The beer company has had a long partnership with the Bond franchise, but so far, that has not included 007 drinking beer in movies. Just hope he doesn't shake the Heineken. That would not be good. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.